We are going to look today in the Word in Ephesians chapter 4. If you want to turn to Ephesians chapter 4, praise God. I'm going to start in verse 17. This is a portion of scripture that I taught on this many, many years ago, not here, someplace else. And it's a message that always kept coming back to me. I love this portion of scripture. And now, learning what we've been learning the past year or so, I love this portion of scripture even more for new reasons. So, starting in verse 17, just going to read through it first, and then we're going to go back and we're going to walk through it. In verse 17, it says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." Father, we come before you. We come to are here before you to learn from your word. Holy Spirit, you are the teacher. And so I submit myself to you, and I just ask that you would teach through me your words of life, words of freedom, words of victory. And Father, I ask that you would give this congregation ears to hear, hearts to understand, eyes to see what you are speaking to each one of them individually, so that they would not leave here the way they came, but you would give them new understanding of the life that you have made available to each one of us that are your children. We thank you for it. We receive it as done in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. So I'm going to teach it a little differently this morning. I don't usually go through a portion of scripture and go through all the words like Wayne does, but we're kind of going to do it from that perspective this morning. So starting back in verse 17, it says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind." Now this word Gentiles, in general, you know, it's talking about somebody who's not born again. But I see where it can also be, you know, the Gentiles, because, you know, when Jesus came, you know, the word was open to the Gentiles. Before that, it was just the Jews. But then, you know, now in the New Testament here, we see that it's also to Gentiles who are born again. And as we go through and look at this, you can see where what he's talking about here, especially these first few scriptures from verses 17 to 21, this can be someone who's born again or not born again. Sadly, it can be someone who is born again. And as we go through and look at this, you're gonna see what we're talking about. So it says here first, in the futility of their mind, the futility, that which is devoid of truth. You know, we can have a whole lot of, you know, in the mind is talking about the intellect. So, you know, we can have a whole lot of information in our heads and a whole lot of ideas and a whole lot of ways of thinking, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's, you know, that it's truth. And if it's not truth, which is, you know, the Word of God, well, then we can go through life and we can, you know, be a Christian more in name only than, you know, and actually experience and actually living the life that God has made available to us. And I won't say that. Okay. And then it says, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. So their understanding, we're talking about the way of thinking and feeling. And so we're talking about, you know, the mind, but also, you know, the heart. You know, if you've been, you know, in our classes at all, you know that the heart, that's about feeling. It's about, you know, our thinking and feeling. It comes from the heart, a lot of it. You know, what's in our heart is what comes out. You know, we live our lives by what's in our heart. And so we're talking about here, you know, more to the mind. And it says, then having their understanding darkened, or way of thinking and feeling, being alienated from the life of God. Alienated, this word means to be shut out from one's fellowship and intimacy. In other words, you know, you can see where this person is. It can be born again, because it's not like that they never had fellowship and intimacy with God, but it's been shut down. It's been shut off. So we have to, you know, my desire this morning, each one of us will look at our lives and how we fit into this portion of Scripture this morning. You know, where do I fit in with this? You know, where am I at in all this that we're talking about this morning? Because at any day, we can be, you know, in any portion of this scripture. And as we go through, I think you understand what I'm talking about. But the problem is, you know, if we're in the first part of it, you know, that we're talking about now, and we never get to the last part of it, you know, we're carnal Christians. We're fleshly Christians. We're just, you know, we're just going through life. We may have prayed the prayer, and we may be going to heaven someday, but there's no kingdom of God operating in our lives. And we wonder why, you know, why isn't this working? You know, this is what they teach at church. Why isn't this working? Well, it's because of this part. Because we're not doing, you know, when we get down to the put off, put on part, we're just living in this part, okay? And every one of us have the capability of doing it at any time. Praise God. Let's see. Alienated from the life of God. So, but shut off from intimacy, shut off from fellowship with the life of God. The life of God, this word is Zoe. And Zoe is the life of God. You know, just think about this a little bit. The definition is the absolute fullness of life. Life, real and genuine. A life active and vigorous, devoted to God, blessed. You know, think about, you know, I won't ask for a show of hands, but my life isn't like this yet. I'm not manifesting this kind of life yet. I'm a whole lot farther today than I was, you know, a year ago, 5 years ago. You know, Wayne and I were talking on the way in this morning and thinking about this past year. You know, we're talking about today's his dad's birthday, and then in a week or so is my mom passed away last year. And just thinking about what has happened, you know, what we have been through in this past year since my mom has died, you know, it was that. And then, you know, we've been in the process of, you know, buying a house and selling a house. And then, you know, Wayne just, you know, we just had the melanoma issue. And, you know, so Wayne's had some other physical issues. And, you know, just starting over with the church. And, you know, all these, if you know, that list of stress factors. Have you ever seen the list of stress factors? Yeah. Well, we probably have, you know, several of the top 10 that we have been through in the past year. But recognizing we are in the best shape we've ever been in our lives, as far as internally. And it's all God. It's all, you know, this scripture. This is, you know, this put off, put on stuff. It's all because of that. Praise God. God has so much more. You know, think about someone, you know, think about someone who you admire, or someone you've known over the years, and you think about, you know, that they live life. You know, they talk about people, you know, they live life to the fullest. You know, the sad thing is, most of the time that I've heard anybody talked about it, they lived life to the fullest. It was talking about a sinner. I don't know of any Christian I've ever heard someone say they lived life to the fullest. They were full of life. They just, you know, just, they were on top of life all the time. But that's what God has for us. We settle for so much less. We settle for crumbs. When the feast is on the table and we're under the table just looking for the crumbs. Amen. It's got to change.
That's right.
But praise God, hallelujah, that ability to change, that ability to be who God has called me to be is in me and it's in every one of you. We don't have to go look somewhere place to find it. We just have to focus and do what the Word of God says and experience it. Praise God, hallelujah. It's good news.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God, hallelujah. But this person here, they've shut themselves off from that. They've shut themselves off from the life of God. They've shut themselves off from experiencing it because they've shut themselves off from their relationship, from their fellowship, from that intimate relationship with God. They have shut themselves off. God didn't say, you blew it. You know, you just, you know. It's one of the reasons why I have a problem with timeouts for kids. Is because, you know, we are supposed to be raising our kids, you know, as parents, we represent God to our kids. And when we use time out, it's like, I don't want you in my presence. You stay out of my presence until whatever. You know, if your parent is with anger, then until I get, so I'm not mad at you anymore, or until you learned your lesson, God doesn't treat us that way. But our thinking, you know, when we're experiencing life that way, and that's it becomes our belief in our heart, you know, I can't be in his presence now. So a lot of times we shut ourselves off because we think, you know, God's mad at me. You know, I blew it again. You know, God, you know. But God just says, I love you. Come on. You're my kid. You know, you don't dump your kids just because they do something you don't like. You're still my kid. I still love you.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. He says, because of the ignorance that is in them. You know, one of the definitions, lack of knowledge. Because they don't know, because they haven't renewed their mind, because someone told them some garbage that God's judging them, God's condemning them. But for some, whatever reason, they don't have the knowledge that God wants them to be in His presence, that God wants to fellowship with us, that God wants to have an intimate relationship with us. But because we don't have that knowledge, or as we go on, you know, we can have that knowledge and we have refused it, shut out that knowledge. But for whatever reason, you know, it's ignorance. Because, and ignorance comes because of the blindness of their heart. And that word blindness is hardness. You know, Wayne has talked about being calloused, dulled perception. So it can be that we have hardened ourselves. You know, if we have traumatic negative experiences in our past, or, you know, if it's just the wearing of life, if it's just, you know, you're just going through the motions, you know, and it's you know, I'm not here to judge anybody because I've been through pretty much all of it. You know, I've been through the good, the bad, and the ugly. But praise God, I'm on the good path, and I plan on it getting just better and better until I'm out of here. Not going, you know, and the same is true every one of you. We don't have to have the bad and the ugly anymore. We don't have to have wilderness experiences. Amen. That's not what God has available for us.
Amen.
Praise God. So the blindness of their heart. So the hardness, they, for whatever reason, they're hardened. Or one of the definitions is stubborn. You know, one of the things we've been talking about with our Thursday night and the book we're going through with Thursday night is, you know, we wish everybody was in that group. We wish, you know, our heart's desire is that everybody would go through it. But we hear things. You know, we hear things. We hear that people don't understand the book, that so they don't come. Or, you know, we hear things, you know, it's and generally, you know, if one of the things he talks about is we come up with all sorts of excuses and it's just resistance. Because I don't want to change. I may not like life the way it is, but I'm comfortable with it. This is, you know, Wayne has given the example over the years, you know, you're in a job you absolutely hate. But instead of finding a job, you know, instead of finding something that you would like, that's the unknown. And so I'm going to stay, you know, in the thing, whatever it is, whatever relationship, you know, whatever it may be, I'm going to stay in this state because this is comfortable. I know this. But out there, I don't know that. So I don't want to step out of my comfort zone. But you know, what's that definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. So a lot of people are insane. Because we just expect, you know, I don't know, you know, well, you're God, so, you know, you can come in, you know, with your magic fairy wand and you're just going to shush, 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 and my life is just going to be totally different. Doesn't work that way. God works in the heart. God works with us in the heart, but it is our decision. God never makes decisions for us. It's always our decision. The life we have today is because of the decisions we have made up to now. And you say, well, no, yes. Yes. Especially if you've been born again very long. You have had, I don't have a book up here. You have had, you have had the Word of God. We've had the Word of God. But we don't do anything with it. We don't apply what we know. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Heart, you know, that's heart, that's combination of spirit and soul. The spirit part, you know, when we're born again, it's totally brand new. That's the God part of us. It's totally brand new. Nothing has to be done with the spirit part of us. We have got it all. The problem that we have to deal with is the other part of the heart, the soul part. And that's where we have to deal with. That's where we have to change those beliefs. And this person that we're talking about here is someone who has beliefs that are contrary to the Word of God, but they're not going to do anything about them for whatever reason. Okay? It says when you're a person like that, then it doesn't just stop there. You know, you just don't stay. We're never static. We're always changing. Life is always changing. So things are always changing. So we never stay in one position for very long. We're either going forward or we're going backward. And this person, with going through this process, you know, Wayne has taught this, you know, is a downward spiral, because we don't stay just here. Things just, you know, things keep getting worse and worse. So it says, who being past feeling, and that word is to, once again, to cease to feel pain or grief, to become callous or apathetic. You know, one of the things I've asked you various times, I said, you know, what are you feeling? Because your feelings are, that's a manifestation of your beliefs. Whatever you're feeling is tied into what you believe. But, you know, when you, there are some people, and you know, once again, I don't want to actually have you raise your hands to this, but there's probably some of you sitting here this morning, you don't know what you feel. You have no idea what you feel. And that's because you're at this state. You've shut down feelings. And generally, it's because of whatever pain we've had. Instead of dealing with the pain, you know, instead of dealing with whatever produced the pain, maybe we don't know how. Maybe we just, you know, I just don't want to. You know, there may be unforgiveness involved. I don't want to deal with it. You know, there can be various reasons. But we just shut it down. So we don't even feel anything anymore. So we get to this point, you know, the apathy is just, there's no feeling, you know. It's the, I guess the laughable, I know it's not totally, but the zombie thing, you know, it's just going through the motions. There's no life. We just go through the motions, you know. We do what we're supposed to do at the right times, and, you know, we perform like we're supposed to perform. But there's no life, because we've just totally shut it down. And I can speak of this, I've been there, I know how it can be. You can go through all the motions, but, you know, there's just blah. It's just blah. But it's not God. We can get out. We don't have to stay there. Praise God. So we're moving now in a negative procession here. So past feeling then have given themselves over to lewdness. And this is what the definition, unbridled lust, excess, wantonness, outrageousness, shamefulness, insolence. You know, we automatically think of lewdness as sexual. And I don't believe that's true. I mean, lust is just a desire. So when you go to an unbridled lust or unbridled desire, whatever's going on in your life, it may be anger. It may be depression. It may be discouragement. It can be all sorts of things, but it just goes to the next level. You know, so what happens? You're going through this process, and you're on fire for God. You know, you're coming to services. You know, you're really in the Word. You're praying. You know, you're doing everything. But then, you know, things, if the beliefs of the heart aren't changed, you know, we only are on top as long as we have the willpower to do it. But then something happens, and it just keeps getting harder and harder. So generally what happens, you know, the person, you know, they may move back farther in the congregation. You know, they may, you know, any longer participate in praise and worship. And then, you know, then they quit, you know, they don't come to every service, you know, and I have this to do and I have this to do. And it just, it's a process, but it just, and then it starts snowballing. You know, we've seen people in the past who, you know, they were gung-ho for God. You know, they were intercessors. They were on fire. And then something happened in their life that they couldn't figure it out. And so they blamed God. And so, boom, they're gone. They don't want to have anything to do with God. Well, it's because what was in their heart? It just exposed what was in their heart. And the same thing happens with us. Things aren't, you know, it just exposes. It's not that something changes, and it's not the external. It's not that God does something. It's not that we can't blame anybody on the outside. It's what's inside of me. It just brings it to the surface. That's why they talk about, you know, the, you know, people that win the lottery. And, you know, that statistically, you know, most every one of them, in just a few years, they've lost it all. Why? Because what was in their heart just came to the surface. When you have, whether you have money or you don't have money, you have heart beliefs. And if you have certain heart beliefs and it comes to the, you know, and you get a lot of money, if you don't have the right heart beliefs, you don't know how to handle money or whatever is greed or whatever is in there, it just comes to the surface. It's not that money is the issue, it's what's inside us. But it can change, whatever it is, it can change. Praise God, praise God. So then we move on from lewdness and then to work all uncleanness, which is, it can be in a moral sense, or it can be impure motives. You know, how many things that we do when it's from the wrong motive? You know, do you ever honest with yourself? I can remember years ago, you know, the hearing messages on what's it, you know, what's your motive? It's basically what's in your heart. You know, why do you do what you do? Why do you read the Bible? Why do you come to church? You know, why do you pray? Why do you do what you do? So when, you know, this person is moving more towards impure motives, negative, ungodly motives. And then we keep going on, and then greediness. A greedy desire to have more, covetousness, wanting what someone else has. It just keeps getting worse and worse. And once again, you know, this can be financial, but I believe that we could use examples of every area. You know, I want more of whatever. You know, and then we're talking addictive personality. You know that you can have an addictive personality and never have touched drugs in your life? You can have an addictive personality, never touched alcohol, never did anything of the biggies, and you can still have an addictive personality? I remember, never watched, it must have been, I think it was when I was sick. And so, you know, I had the TV on for background noise. And there was a show on, there's a reality show about couponing or something. And there was this woman, I mean, she was obsessive. It was totally addictive. It was just totally bizarre. But one of the things they said about her is she had a background. I don't remember. She had either, she came from drug abuse or alcohol abuse, something. But now it became coupons. And she was still that addictive personality. What? It's a heart thing. It's inside me that I has to deal with. You know, you can go through rehab and everything, but that generally deals with just the outside. It generally deals with just the performance. We need to deal with it from the heart. We need to change in the heart. And that's what this word is about. It's about putting off that stuff, putting on something different. That's God. God has all the answers. We just have to tap into them. Praise God. You have not so learned Christ. So you have not, so it talks about to increase one's knowledge. This isn't what you were taught. This isn't what God told you when you got born again. You know, when God tells us things in our spirit, God puts things in our spirit when we're born again. But it depends on whether we do anything about renewing our mind, whether we continue to hang on to that or it gets shut down. It's still in there. It's just because of all this process, we become hardened, so we don't hear that anymore. You know, have a hardened heart, it's you don't hear from God anymore. God's still speaking all the time, but you don't hear it because you're not, you know, you're not dealing with your heart. So he says, you know, you didn't learn this. This isn't what you were taught. You know, this is not what is available to you. And then he goes on to say, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, if you actually comprehended what you were taught, if you actually did something, if you actually applied what was taught to you, you know, when you were born again or what you've been heard since you were born again, you know, that's why the difference between, you know, people that can, someone can get born again and their lives can totally change. And then you have somebody else who's born again and it's not much of a difference. It's because they tapped into what was in their heart. It says, God says, he gives us a new heart. He gives us a soft heart. When we start out being born again, it's all, we have the potential for a totally different life. We're brain totally new. The thing is, generally because of a lack of teaching or wrong teaching, we don't understand what we're supposed to do when we're born again. You know, we're generally taught, this is what you do. Step one, step two, step three. But what we're actually supposed to be doing is renewing our mind, as we're going to talk about in a little bit. Change what's in our thinking so that change, then we can change what's in our heart. Praise God. Now verse 22, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Put off, lay it aside, lay it down, cast it off, put it away. You know, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it talks about laying aside the sins and the weights which so easily beset us. That's the same word. You know, we're supposed to put it off. The thing is, we never understood how to do it. Well, praise God, you know, with the teaching that, you know, the teaching we've had from James Richards, he just explained, this is how you do it. And it's not complicated. It's very simple. But it's just believing it and doing it. So put it off. Put it off. Whatever doesn't belong to you. You know, if you look in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 11, which we're not going to go there. But this also, once again, talks about, you know, putting off and putting on. And there's this whole list of things that, you know, if you don't know what you're supposed to put off, well, there's a whole list that you can start. If you keep going down in Ephesians, chapter 4 of Ephesians, you can see some of the stuff you're supposed to put off. One of the first things you're supposed to put off is lying. You know, these things don't belong to you as a child of God. This is not who you are anymore. So you put it off. You send it away. It says, put off concerning your former conduct, your manner of life, your behavior, what you were like before you became born again. That's what the stuff you want to get rid of, because you're not that person anymore. That person died. Now, he may still be trying to manifest it being alive, but he's dead. And that's one of the things we need to do. We need to reckon him that he is actually dead. He says, your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt. It brings destruction and perishing is what he wants to do. He wants to destroy you. According to the deceitful lust. And that lust, as I said before, is just simply desires. You know, it's just we get deceived. What is it? What it tells us in James, it talks about the person, you know, they look in the mirror and then they walk away and they forget what they look like. And it's the same thing, you know, it's what we're talking about. With the Word, you know, staying in the Word is we remember, okay, this is who God says I am. You know, you're here this morning, and if you don't have your mind renewed, if you don't have any arsenal inside of you, when I go through and tell you this, put this off, you know, put off whatever it may be, if you don't have anything to put back on, it's just, you're kind of in limbo. That's why we need the Word. We need to know what belongs to me. What don't I have to put up with? There's things I don't have to put up with, but if I don't know what they are, how am I going to go through this whole process? Because, and you can't put on without putting off, and it's a waste of time to put off and not put on. Because it's just going to come back. You're just going to have to keep putting it off until you put on, okay? Let's see. What do we want to put off? Anything contrary to what Jesus paid the price for. Anything that would cause me to experience life less than what Jesus paid the price for. So what did Jesus pay the price for? You know, what did Jesus go to, you know, was he crucified for? What was he beaten for? You know, what was he crucified? Why did he go to hell? What did he pay the price for? If I don't know, then I don't know what to put on. So we need to renew our mind, okay? So in verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. If you know what to, you know, need to know what to put on, then you need to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And the spirit is the you, you know, it's the God part of you. But how we can describe this, he says, let's see here. We want to, another way of saying this would be renew my mind as my spirit has been renewed. So my spirit is made brand new. But my mind needs to be brainwashed so it lines up with my spirit. Amen. You know, this stuff isn't complicated. It's not, you know, the one thing, learning, the gospel is simple. It all comes down to believing. The work is in getting myself to believe. But it's all what I believe and what I need to believe and what I need to get stop believing. It's all very simple. He says we must bring our mind into agreement with what has been written on our heart. So what did God put in my heart? What's in my heart? When my mind and my heart agree, I am in faith. When my mind and my heart agrees, whatever I'm believing for will happen. It's the agreement between the mind and the heart. When those two come in agreement, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. There's no doubts. It's going to happen. So the work is in getting those in agreement, okay? Starting in verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Put it on. Clothe with. Be endued. To sink into clothing. You ever think about, I don't know if guys do this. Well, Wayne talks. I think Wayne does. So I guess guys do. But when you're putting on something, you know, when I put on, you know, sometimes if I'm putting on a sweater, you know, that there's wrinkles in it, so I'll run it through the dryer before I put it on. And so he'll say, "Oh, that feels so good." Do you ever put on, you know, you're cold or something, and you put on a robe or you put on something soft, flannel shirt or something? It just feels so good. It's just, you just want to sink into it. Or maybe you're cold and you get under some fuzzy blanket. It just feels so good. That's putting on. This feels so good. Put it on. Put on. Put on the new man. Put on, new means recently made, of a new kind, unprecedented. This is who I am. It's not that I have to become the new man. This is who I am. I just have to be who I already am. Amen. You know, God told me years ago now, before we ever, you know, got this understanding of what James Richards teaches, but he told me years ago, and it just keeps being confirmed and confirmed, be who I've called you to be, then you'll do what I've called you to do. I just have to be who I am. And that's what putting on makes me. It this is who I already am. I am a new creature in Christ. I am, you know, I am full of power. We just sang this morning, you know, that power that raised Jesus from the dead, it's in me. Praise God. It's in you. When you're born, it's in there. But we need to meditate on it. You know, we need to renew that spirit of our mind. We need to, you know, to think about it and imagine it and, you know, get involved in it with every part that's in us. Amen. That's who I am. Put the new man, which was created according to God, which was completely changed or transformed. There's that word transformed. You know, information, application, transformation. When I get information and I apply it to my life, then who transforms me? God. I don't have to do the transforming. I just do the information and the application. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're created in God according to God in true righteousness. And holiness. Righteousness is life as it should be. Not as it should be in my estimation, but as it should be in the way God says. How does God say life should be? It should be pretty good. You know, because I am healed. So I'm healthy all the time. You know, I'm wealthy. Because, you know, if you look in the, you know, the curses in Deuteronomy 28, I just was reading through those last night. You read through those and you say, you know, there's a whole lot of financial stuff that's part of the curses. You know, there's a whole lot of health stuff that's part of the curses. So basically, you know, as Ben Franklin said, forget about the penny, but I am healthy, I am wealthy, and I am wise. Amen. That's who I am. It's not, I don't have to become that. That's who I am. And that's who you are. Life as it should be, as God designed life to be. That's who I am, because I am righteous. You are righteous. If you're born again, you're righteous. I don't care what you feel like. I don't care what you've done. You know, I don't care what you're doing. You're still righteous. Amen. It's just, you know, walking that out, experiencing that, and holiness. I am also holy. I'm undefiled by sin. Whether I have sinned or not, I'm still undefiled by sin because Christ Jesus is in me and there is no sin in him. He paid the price. There is no sin in him. So there is no sin in me. I may choose to, you know, do sin, but it's not in me. I am holy. Amen. You are holy. I don't have to do anything to become holy. I am holy. You are holy. You're pure before God. I don't care what you've done or what you haven't done. You are pure before God. We need to imagine that. We need to meditate on that. We need to see ourselves as we actually are. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So putting out, well, let's look at these few scriptures first, what we base this on. Galatians 3:13. You all know this one. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. There we are. We are the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. I am not Jewish, but I am in Christ Jesus. So that's who I am. So these blessings are going to come on me, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. We talked about, you know, you go look at the curses. And any of that thing that's mentioned there, it doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to you. But you may read through that. I can remember a time when I was reading through that, and there's one down towards the end. It says, I forget exactly how it's worded, but towards the end of them, it talks about the one that I don't like it when it's daytime, and I don't like it when it's night. I dread it getting light, and I dread it getting dark. And there was a time that was Wayne's life. But that's a curse. That doesn't belong to me. So if you're living in the curses, you know, get a hold of this, just this one right here, Galatians 3:13. I don't have to be sick. Jesus paid the price. I don't have to be sick. I'm going to put off sickness because it doesn't belong to me. I'm going to put off lack because Jesus paid the price. Poverty does not belong to me. It's God's will that I prosper and I have the power to get wealth, and all of my needs are supplied according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And his grace abounds towards me that I always have all sufficiency in all things, and I abound to every good work. That's what I need to put on. But you haven't seen my checkbook. I don't care what your checkbook says. That's not who you are. You are prosperous. You are wealthy. You have more than enough, because God the Father has more than enough, and that's who you belong to. Change your thinking. Renew your mind. Renew the spirit of your mind. Get yourself lined up to what God says, not what man says. I don't care where a ball moves to. It does not affect me. It does not affect you unless you want it. If you want it, you can have it, but it shall not come nigh me. When Wayne and I hear about something going around, what do we say? It shall not come nigh me. It doesn't belong to me. And, you know, you say that and you get sick anyway. I don't care whether I'm sick or not. It shall not come nigh me. This is not who I am. It's a process. It's not, boom, all of a sudden you've arrived. It's a process. As long as we're moving forward, we're not moving backward. Amen. Amen. And we have no right to judge anybody else because, oh, Lord, whoa. Very dangerous. Very dangerous when you decide something about someone else's life. Praise God. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. All the blessings of his love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Amen. That's a song from, 45, 50 years ago. And it came back to us recently, and just, we're thinking, we didn't know anybody, they didn't actually believe what they were singing, but you know what? That's a really good song. Every promise, Old Testament promises, New Testament promises, it belongs to me. It belongs to you. Now, you know, we have thoughts that come against us. No, no, no. Well, every time we have one of those thoughts, that's what we put off. We recognize that this doesn't belong to me. You know, losing my job. No, that doesn't belong to me. And even if I lose my job, no, this is not who I am. My God will take care of me. You know, this is what we have seen this past year. We have seen financial miracle after financial favor. You know, it's just this, we have seen just things change. And it's simply the only thing different is what has changed in us. As things change in you, then things change around you. For the better. Praise God. Hallelujah. In Colossians 1:12-14, it says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance in the saints in light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. It's not anything I've done. It's not that I deserve it. You know, we don't deserve anything. Those commercials that say, you deserve this. Oh, good Lord. Oh. That's straight from the pit of hell. We don't deserve anything. We haven't earned anything. We don't have a right to anything. Well, but based on what? Why do you deserve a brand new Lexus? Based on what? Why do you deserve McDonald's? Based on what? That's that mind. That's that, you know, yeah, I deserve this. Yeah. And generally, it's not because we actually believe that. It's because we believe contrary. No, I don't really deserve this. I don't deserve this. But they're telling me I deserve. Yes, so I'm going to. That's, yeah, it belongs. Yeah, I'm going to get that. It's all based on Jesus Christ. Everything in my life. I'm alive because of Jesus Christ. I'm standing here because of Jesus Christ. You are here today because of Jesus Christ. Everything that we could ever have, everything anything good in our lives that's ever happened is because of Jesus Christ. So we have to get a hold of that. I'm qualified because of what God said, because of what God did. God has qualified me to be partakers in the inheritance. God has qualified me to receive all the promises, not anything I did. Can I understand that with my mind? No, I cannot. I cannot. Cannot understand that intellectually. But I need to choose to believe it. I need to choose to keep renewing my mind, because when I actually believe it, then it's going to start manifesting. And it's not that, oh, I'm this horrible person, and, you know, I'm a sinner saved by grace, and, you know, I just, you know, no. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am somebody. I am somebody because of Jesus Christ. Renewing the spirit of our mind. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. All the promises belong to me because I am in Jesus and He is my Lord. Remember Romans chapter 10, verses 8 to 10? We talked a little bit this about in one of the classes recently. It's when He's my Lord. This is not likely going to happen if Jesus is God is just a convenience thing. If you're, you know, I got born again a while back and, you know, I'm going to heaven, but, you know, I'm going to live my life however. And if I need God along the way, you know, I'm going to throw out a prayer, or I'm going to call Doreen. Doreen, pray for me because, you know, I need this. You know, I'm sick, or, you know, so-and-so, my family member has this wrong, and I need help here, I need help there, you know. And then nothing happens, and, well, I didn't think it was going to happen anyhow, you know. There's a scripture in, I think it's Proverbs, or it's Job. I don't remember which one. But it's in one of the translations that says, you know, you do these, basically my paraphrase, you do these stupid things and then you blame God, and God's the only one that can help you. That's no rational thinking there, is there? Praise God, hallelujah. It's our choice. Is Jesus going to be my Lord, or am I going to control my life? The original sin was that I want to be in control. The same sin that we deal with today. I want to be in control. I want to decide my life. I can do this. I don't need, you know, God, when I really can't do it, then I'll ask you for help. But other than that, I'm going to decide. I'm going to decide everything about my life. I'm going to decide how I'm going to spend my money, what I'm going to do, how I'm going to live my life. I am going to control. But when I need help, then I'll call on you. That's not Jesus being Lord. Jesus being Lord is, God, you say jump, and I say how high. But it's a process. You know, it should be, Jesus is Lord, boom. And some people get born again, and Jesus is Lord, boom. But of a lot of us, it's a process. But if you're hearing a message this morning, and you're hearing this message this morning, and you do nothing with this message, you are headed backwards. You may not understand everything I'm teaching this morning, but there's something that the Holy Spirit is teaching you. There's something the Holy Spirit is telling you to do. Amen. And if you just, another message, you don't apply any of it, that's more dangerous than never hearing this stuff. Right. And you are going to be in that process in the first 17 verses, 17 to 21. It's not God's will. God doesn't want it. But our choice. We you know, that's why God hates sin. Because it brings so much pain. That's the only reason. Sin doesn't mean, you know, if you're in sin, you know, and this has been the religious way we've looked at it. You know, you're this bad person. I'm superior to you because I am not committing that sin. I've never had an abortion, so I'm superior to you. I have never had a homosexual relationship, so I'm superior to you. Sin is sin. The problem with sin is it brings pain. That's why God doesn't want us to sin. It's not that God wants to take things away from you. It's not that God wants you to have a boring life. The most exciting life you can have is having Jesus be your Lord. Life is good then. I live in peace. How can you have a better life than that? With our government, with, you know, Ebola, with, you know, what's that latest respiratory thing they're trying to scare everybody with, HNSN something or other. But if I'm at peace, it doesn't matter what's going on around me. It's because why? Why am I at peace? Because I know God. It's okay. God's going to take care of me. God's it's going to be okay. Whatever. It's going to be okay. But it's changing my heart belief. It's putting off. It's renewing my mind. It's putting on. It's going to be a process. It's not, yeah, that's what she said this morning. Yes, yes, yes. So amen her this morning. But you walk out the door and all you think about is what I don't have or how hard it is or how bad it is. You know, I went for years just, I mean, I actually taught it. I mean, referred to it, said it, didn't teach it per se, but said it. How hard life is. Not in God. Life is not hard in God. If your life is hard, it's not God. What does he say? My yoke is easy, my burden is light. It's not hard. Zoe life, the life, you know, life to the fullest, enjoying every moment of the day. Enjoying getting up in the morning. Enjoying doing whatever I'm doing. I have some work to do. I haven't arrived in this stuff. But I believe I'm on the right path. I'm going after it. Praise you, Lord. Well, that scripture, it says, Philemon 1:6, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. That word, what he's talking about here, he says the incorporating, it's not just that we, you know, that we go through the, you know, what we've talked about in the past, you know, confession. Just, you know, just say the word enough times and, you know, it'll happen. That I'll renew my mind. Just say the scripture over and over again. Scripture memorization is very good because that's part of renewing my mind. But that is not the whole thing. What we're talking about here is incorporating your imagination that causes you to experience what you're saying. So in other words, it's getting alone with God. And this morning in this room, you have, we're about to go into praise and worship. You have the opportunity to get alone with God right here. And shutting yourself in with God. Praise and worship is not about performance. It's not about who's doing what, whether you like the songs, whether you don't like the songs, you know. It's about spending time with God, whatever works for you. If standing up, jumping around, dancing, you know, whatever, if that works for you, if that gets you and connected with God, praise God, go for it. You know, but if there's times you just need to sit there and just shut your eyes and just focus on him, which is, you know, I would encourage you to do this morning. Amen. You know, for you to put off, you need to focus on what it is I'm putting off. Because just saying, okay, say you have cold symptoms, you know. Oh, I put that off in the name of Jesus. You know, just not necessarily going to work. It takes focus. It takes imagination. It takes experiencing it. You know, we've talked in the past about the example of meditating and seeing Christ in me and me in Christ. You know, whatever it is. You know, say you need to be healed. So get your imagination, get your spiritual imagination, and go before God and go to Jesus and, you know, give him. He is your healer. See him as healing you. You know, whatever it takes for you. But it takes effort in that it takes getting focused. It takes relaxing. It takes focus on him and putting off. You know, I'm putting this off. I'm putting this on. And it's not just a one-time thing. It needs to become a daily thing. Every time we recognize this thought, this feeling is not what Jesus paid the price for. I don't have to understand where it came from. I don't have to figure out anything. I just recognize this doesn't belong to me. I put it off. I send it away. I lay it aside. Amen. And I put on whatever God says about me. You can do it. Amen. It's just making a decision. For every one of us, it's making a decision over and over again. And the more effort you put into it, the faster it's going to happen. You know, if you just, oh, yeah, you know, once a week, oh, yeah, she said that. Oh, yeah, I should probably do that. Well, you may make some change to me, but it's not likely. It's concerted, is that the right word? Concerted effort. Because God wants us to experience life as he knows it. He made us in his image. He wants us to experience life as he knows it. Amen. But it's our choice whether we're going to do it. I encourage you this morning, make the right choice. It's like telling your kids, make the right choice. And that's, as G.I. Joe would say, now you know. And knowing is half the battle. Praise God. Let's worship him.